I tell you what, God is up to something. I remember back here a couple years ago, we had that conference, and it just seemed like money just kept coming out of nowhere for that project and to pay for all the speakers and everything. It's beginning to happen that way with the Vision Project. As of this, now we've already got a lot of the software. We got our first computer. We have $955 as of this morning for our camera, which is $1,250. Because God opened up my eyes and I saw I didn't need a $4,000 camera. $1,250, do just fine. Thank you very much. And got a really sweet letter this morning with the gift, and they're getting on fire down in Florida. Yeah, down in Florida. We got Florida, we got Jamaica, we got all kinds of places. And God's just touching people. And see, that's what this is all about. So many times we don't see beyond right here. And this is here not only for you guys, but for Jamaica, for Florida, for Indonesia, we're getting emails in different places. Those that are hungry, it's amazing to me how God will cause them to stumble across our website. They say, I don't really know how I got there. I was typing in something, and boom, they were there, and it's like, oh, smorgasbord. And they start downloading. God has a purpose. And this week, God began to drop something in my spirit. I knew I was finishing up Holy Fire, Strange Fire, and God began to drop something down in my spirit, and He kept on saying, prepare you the way of the Lord. And just kept on just dropping that down in my spirit, dropping that down in my spirit. And so, of course, you know, I go to John. He says, no. Now, this is the only time in my life, God always makes me look stuff up. Now, God will tell Mary, you know, she's sitting on the front porch and they're saying, they're getting ready to defile the Feast of Tabernacles. What's the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, look in Leviticus here. God always gives her, you know, tells her, because she don't like software, she don't, with me, it just takes me a second, but I'm sitting there. He says, no, don't go there. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Yes, sir. And as I begin to read it, because this is actually where it was quoting from, that John the Baptist, in to a certain degree, fulfilled, but it also, what we're going to find in this chapter, it's a principle. How many know there needs to be some comfort brought to Zion? There needs to be some comfort brought to God's lives. And when God begins to move, there is always a principle that follows what we're going to see in Isaiah 40, that if we will understand it, hear heaven and do our part, how many know that God will always do His part? Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 40. I want to take this apart this morning. And I'm not saying that this is the all-exclusive interpretation of this, because how many know, just like Torah, there are four levels of interpretation for Torah. There are many times that we can get a lot of different things out of Scripture besides its literal fulfillment. Because how many know, a lot of this is going to be literally fulfilled when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns. But at the same time, I believe that that spirit of Elijah that was on Elijah, was on Elisha, was on John the Baptist, comes on us. That we have the right to move in that Elijah anointing to come against Jezebel, to come against Ahab, to come against Athaliah, to come against all the things the devil tries to bind us up with, that we can have that prophetic Elijah anointing come on us when we're a mess. When we're a mess is when you need it, because it unmessifies you. You see, when your education goes so far, you can just start making up your own words, and you have alphabet soup behind your name to justify your demessification. I mean, presidents can do it, I can do it, right? Isaiah chapter 40 starts out, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. What's the next word in New King James? Speak. What we're going to find out this morning is that speaking and coming in line with heaven has everything to do with you getting free and going on in God. How am I going to comfort? God says, now comfort ye, comfort my people. I'm going to have to speak something. I'm going to have to hear, and I'm going to have to speak. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. There are some things that we're going to have to cry out about, that we're going to have to speak to see them changed in our lives. Your biggest problems that you're facing right now are never going to change until you find God's word on it and you start speaking to it. you're going to have to tell it, let me go. Mm-hmm. Well, show me that in the Word. We're getting there. I'm already ahead of myself, kind of. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Anybody see a theme here? Speak, cry, shout. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now this is part of what John the Baptist was doing. As he was speaking, it was a call to repentance. He was speaking to things that were going on. He was speaking to things to address the people, and he was calling them to repentance. And by doing that, speaking forth, he was making things straight for God to move. And we're always waiting for God to move. If God moves, things will be made straight. God says, no, 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 you got it all wrong. You are to prepare a highway for me. You speak. You may be in the wilderness. You may be in your day bar. You may be out there wandering in the wilderness, feeling like you're lost. But God says, if you will hear from heaven and you will begin to speak, you may be the one crying out in the wilderness. But as you do, you're preparing a highway for God. And I tell you what, I have decided I don't mind having an 8-lane highway. You see, I'm from St. Louis. St. Louis, you just don't have 4-lane highways. You have 8 12-lane highways. And every time I go up there, they add 3 or 4 more lanes. I like that when stuff's coming to you that's good. You know, I don't mind having 15-lane, 30-lane highways coming to me, bringing stuff in. When I want God to come in my life, I want that highway to be wide. I want it to be to where there. I don't want the Lord caught in a traffic jam. But to do that, even if I'm in the wilderness by myself, I can cry out in the middle of the wilderness and prepare a way for Him. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord is spoken. Oh, wait a minute. He just said, you cry out, but now the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here's the key. If God says it, you should be shouting it. What God has said, you need to be speaking over your life. What God has said, you need to be saying out of your own mouth about your situation. The devil tells you you're bound. You say, no, in Jesus I'm free. You're going to let me go. Right now you've made me crooked in this area, but the Word says that I'm going to be made straight. And God says that when I'm on that straight, I'm not going to go to the left or the right of it, but I'm going to keep on with God. I've got to speak it. I've got to speak it. I've got to speak it. Now let's take this in context with Mark chapter 11. Everybody knows where I'm going. If you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. Quoting King James now. I switch gears on it because I'm doing it from memory. Now, in the past, we have been taught whatever you want to speak to the mountain. But you got to remember the guy who said that. The guy who said that was Jesus. And Jesus has already said, I say nothing unless I hear my Father say it. I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. And so as I am making, there are things in our lives, guys, that Satan has exalted that should be brought low. There are things in our life that need to be brought up that he has pushed down. There are things that need to be straightened out that he's got all crooked and cockeyed. And God says, I want to work with you. I love the very last chapter of the book of Mark because it says that they went forth and God confirmed his word with signs following. You see, when God speaks and I hear, then I can be his man in the earth to speak to the mountain, because God said, that is supposed to be where my highway is. That is supposed to be brought low. Level it out, Mike, and then I can stand in faith. Why can I stand in faith? Because it wasn't my idea. God said it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of God's word will pass away. God said, every mountain shall be and hill shall be brought low, every valley shall be exalted, the rough places may play, because the Lord has spoken it, and I am his agent in the earth. He speaks it in heaven, I speak it in earth, and then it comes together and God begins to move. Totally different than me speaking everything I want in my flesh. See, because I've tried that. I've confessed stuff. And confessed it, 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 and confessed it. And every time I did, heaven saying, you don't need it, 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 you don't need it! Not realizing I'm digging my own hole. I'm spending so much time obsessing about what I don't need that I don't hear the Father speaking to me what I do need. How many of us have been there? That's why if we're not careful as we get into these things, it will appeal to the flesh. Glory to God, I found out how to get all the stuff I want. Then you've missed God. Because what heaven wants is you to get free. You see, if you're in Egypt and you're building bricks, your thing may be, I want this brand new mold that I can make my bricks either with. Glory to God, I got a brand new mold. Glory to God, I got a brand new mold. And God is saying, I'm trying to get you out of Egypt. And now I do, I want a brand new mold, I want a brand new rack to put everything in. And so here you are, you're in Egypt, you're in a mud pit, and you have confessed and you have brought in all this stuff to make your life easier while you're still in Egypt, and now you're attached to your stuff, and God can't move you out of Egypt because that's where all your stuff is. Am I making sense this morning? And see, a lot of times when we confess out of the flesh, the devil is more than happy. If you're digging your own hole, how many know the devil is more than happy to give you a bigger shovel? He may bring in one that it says case on it. Go ahead and get a bulldozer. Oh, glory to God, I got a bulldozer. No, God didn't give you that bulldozer. He's not trying to dig you a hole. He's sitting there waiting for you to get in the moving van. We're sitting there doing all these things. It comes back to, guys, we have got, it comes back to this word. We have got to become what I call biblical lifers. It's got to line up with the Word of God. It is, thus saith the Lord, if God has said it, and this is what God has said I'm supposed to be, then this is what I'm supposed to be. And everything in my life that doesn't line up to that, I need to start speaking to it and say, God, if you, and I am so determined this mountain's going to move that if I got to grab it one stone at a time and personally carry it over into the ocean and throw it there, but I tell you what, Father, when I am done, this thing is going to be smooth, just like you said it's supposed to be, because it's my job to prepare a highway for you so you can move. Let me tell you something. As we enter into the feast, now we're getting into the fall feast, and the fall feasts are paramount to understanding the last days. I'm trying real hard not to get into what I want to put on DVD starting at the end of this month, because I'm going to start on the feast. But how many know Jesus fulfilled the spring feast the first time he came? When he comes back again, you got to take the fall feast and lay them over the top of the book of Revelation. But I also believe that as we do the divine rehearsals for the fall feast and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, year after year, God's going to work some things in your life to prepare you for his return. That as we follow the feast, not just doing it out of rote, but doing it by what heaven is speaking now into what he has done. And then he starts having me speak. This year I may move this mountain down over here. I may bring this valley up here. And the next year it's making this crooked place straight. Because each year God is doing some things in me, preparing me for the days ahead. And if I'm faithful, if I'm faithful to hear, faithful to speak, and faithful to do, God is always faithful to back it up with power. But he is not going to back up my flesh. He is going to back up what he has spoken. What he has spoken. Now let's go on a little bit, because we need to understand that when I do this, God's going to start doing some things. He said, and the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? So God is commanding us to cry out. What shall I cry? Now God, all of a sudden, begins to put some things into balance, into perspective for us. Because we have got to understand the ways of God. How many know sometimes the world gets really big? The world and the problems of the world can get really big. When I look at what's going on right now in America and what's going on in the world, it looks huge. It looks absolutely huge. How in the world am I going to change what's going on? It's like I got a spitball and I'm trying to fight in a gunfight sometimes. Ever felt that way? But I want you to see exactly what he says here. This is what you're going to cry out. All flesh is grass, and all loveliness is like the flowers of the field, and the grass withers and the flowers fade because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, and the grass withers and the flowers fade, but all people are like grass. All the power they build and all these air castles they have made are all like grass, and all God has to do is blow on it and it'll fade away. But the word of the Lord is going to last forever. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they try to do, what philosophies they try to put out, how they try to poison the wells of men's minds. All of it has come and all of it is gone. How many know Nebuchadnezzar reigned and God had him out eating grass when he thought he was the best, most powerful king on the earth? God says, you know what? It's time for you to eat grass. It's time for you to learn how to do these things. Called being humble. Called being humbled before Almighty God. He said, but the word of our God stands forever, O Zion, you who bring good tidings. Well, what good tidings are they bringing? What God has said needs to be spoken. How many know that if you're broke, you don't need healing? How many know that if you have all the money in the world but you don't know what to do, money isn't going to do you any good? What you need is a word of wisdom. That we need to have things from God. We need to have His Word. We need to have an understanding of how to walk with Him. It all comes back to the Word. And so those good tidings is how God and His Word is speaking to us at that moment, and He needs people to speak it forth. That's why hearing from God is so important. That's why I've taught so much on you get in the Word, you stay in the Word, you let the Word of God speak to you, and as God begins to speak to you, He's going to put a word of deliverance in your own mouth. You can't get anything more powerful than this. Moses went down to Egypt with what? Words. Let my people go. Are you guys getting this morning? It doesn't matter what the world does, God's word is greater. It doesn't matter what power they think they can build. It doesn't matter how much money they think they can accumulate together. God's word is greater. And when I get that back into perspective, I don't care how big you build your house of cards, guys. I don't care how big any nation of this earth builds a house of cards. All it takes is the breath of God to knock it all down. You see, when I'm having to prepare the way of the Lord, and I'm having to speak to mountains, be thou removed, and I'm having to tell valleys, you need to come up here and be smooth, sometimes the devil will try to make it look like it's impossible, that you're going against the tide, but we need to realize God's got our back if I'm obeying Him. How many know there's power when you keep the commandments of God? Now, 99% of the church doesn't know that there's power in the commandments. But when you keep the commandments, God's got your back. When God tells you to speak something forth, He's got your back. And what He's beginning to do in these scriptures is, although those mountains aren't molehills that God's having you talk to, He's putting things back into perspective. that everything this world has to offer is like grass that fades into absolutely nothing at the breath of God. And when it's all said and done, it is God's Word, it is His commandments, it is His statutes that are going to stand absolutely forever. So let's take it another step further here in Isaiah 40. He said, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. When God gives you something to speak to prepare the way that God is going to begin doing things in your life, you have got to speak it out with the strength of the Holy Spirit. How many times in our lives, guys, I mean even family members, God starts showing you something. You discover the Sabbath. And you start doing it, and everybody says, oh no, that we don't do it that way. Oh, you're crazy for doing that. Doing the Word? Then call me a loon. And they begin speaking other things against you. That is time that you need to have strength in your voice. Come on. You got to get confident in what the Word of God says. You've got to get confident in the commandments of God. You've got to get confident in what the Spirit of God is trying to tell you. Because if you're in bondage in an area and Satan has done a work in you and God is trying to put a word of freedom in your heart, that you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to add some strength to your voice. But yet we don't do that. But you want to know something? There have been times we let the devil do it. Anybody ever get in the flesh and say a bunch of stuff you wish you hadn't said? The devil pushes your buttons. Now, you don't say it wimpily, do you? Wimpily. We're going to get into demessification and wimpily. I'm making up all kinds of words today. It's okay. We say it with passion. Nobody has gotten in the flesh without having a little passion behind it. I tell you what! And Satan says, go ahead and build you a new mountain. God's trying to level things out because you have an anointing to take things that Satan has pushed down to bring them up. You have an anointing from the Holy Spirit to push the mountains that Satan has built in your life down, to make a smooth place, a place that we can dwell with God and walk with God and have a highway for our Lord. Satan knows that you have earth-moving ability and authority in your words. Didn't James say the hardest thing in the world to control is the tongue? If you can control that, you've got a lot of stuff taken care of. And Satan will push your buttons. Here you are trying to believe God to get out of bondage, and the devil hits your bondage and makes you mad, and so what you do is you triple the chains by your own words. Why do we let the devil put so much force behind what we say, and when God tells us to say something, we get timid? That's why, you know, I'm Spirit-filled, and I like what's called a prophetic unction. That's when the Holy Spirit puts you on high octane and He has you give forth a prophetic word, and there is an edge to it that will blast a hole in any wall. And it's like the gift of faith and different things go into operation, and once you speak something, it's like a ripple effect in the spirit realm. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do when we move against the mountains the devil has put in our life. That whole thing in Mark chapter 11 was never about getting what you want. It's about doing what God wants. Doing what God wants. Everything Jesus did, He did by faith, but He was doing what? What the Father wanted. He kept the commandments by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time that He healed somebody, it was because the Father said, I want you to touch this one and I want you to heal them. He can walk into a place, guys. Now, Jesus has more tenacity than I do. Because he could walk into by the pool of Bethesda. He had the power to heal every single person there. Every single person there was looking for healing from Almighty God. He walked in, healed one, and walked out. We would have wanted to set up tent, called in for the cameras from TBN. Come on, it's time to launch our ministry. But the Father said, there's 200 or 300 people there, but there's one that it's impossible for him ever to do what he needs to do, and I want you to walk to him. Can you see the control that Jesus had? And see, that's part of understanding the commandments of God and keeping the commandments. It teaches you control. This is what I want to do, but God says to do this, so I know that this is clean, this is unclean, this is holy, this is unholy. I choose to do the holy. And so Jesus chose to do and to speak exactly what God told him to do, regardless of what's going on. And so when you set in your heart, when you set in your heart to speak what Almighty God has put in your heart, when you set to speak it, when you set to get free, God says, I want you to get free, and you set in your heart to get free, God will add strength to your words. God will add strength to you. But see, the problem is, I've known a lot of people that wanted to get free. They said they did, but they didn't. You know why? Their problem made them special. Their problems gave them excuses. They could have a flesh out and say, yeah, but you know, I got this problem. That's not the way of God. And so if I'm in that situation, God is going to let me sit there and sit there and sit there until I get so tired of it, I'm tired of the excuses. Anybody ever been in a situation you finally get tired of the excuses? You finally get tired of it being your pet and it being the excuse for the way you are, and you finally get to the place you want free so bad, you say, you know what, no more excuses. I'm not cutting myself any more slack. When I get free, I know I can no longer be like that anymore, and the reason I want to get free is so that I won't be like that anymore. And the minute we get there, God adds strength to our words. And the Word of God says that's good tidings. Now, when I start speaking what God tells me to speak, to prepare the way for God, let's jump down to verse 10. Because now we have set the stage. All this before has been about setting our perspective. No matter what the world does, there is grass before God. No matter, how many know Pharaoh was nothing but a big hunk of grass to Almighty God? Nebuchadnezzar was nothing but a big hunk of grass before Almighty God. The Antichrist is nothing but a big hunk of grass before Almighty God. So he's having us speak what God is speaking. He's having us face some big things, but he's putting it back into perspective, and he's saying, listen, if you be obedient to me, I'm going to add some strength to what you're saying. And now that you're speaking, and now that you have your perspective right, God begins to move on the scene in verse 10. And behold, the Lord your God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, for his work is before him, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. You see, when Jesus shows up, he's not mad at you. Now, we have spent 6 weeks dealing with the fire of God, holy fire, strange and strange fire. This last week, Pastor Rodhouse, God showed him something. You know, we always quote, when you know Jesus was tempted, he said, you know, quoting Deuteronomy, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word is not in Hebrew. Debar is not there. Everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God is to strengthen you. You see, if I'm in him, his sword can proceed from him to me, and all it does is set me free. His fire can proceed out of his mouth, and I can be like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I can go through the fiery furnace. Those things that held me back burn off, but I am strengthened by it. He can blow from his nostrils, and although it causes grass around me to wither, I am strengthened by it, because everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God is for my freedom, and that is the bread that I'm supposed to eat. So anything that comes from him, I never have to fear. that God can breathe, kill the devil, and set you free with the same breath. God can loose His fire, set you on fire with the power of God, and burn up every bondage in your life, all with the same fireball. Believer, you could be standing in the middle of the valley of Armageddon if the Lord allowed you, being a believer. And when He mows down every ungodly, you're going to be the only man standing, because the very thing that came out of His mouth to destroy the enemies made you strong. And so when He comes, when He rules and reigns in power to the devil, it's power to make him bow. But yet that same great power to us is manifested as a shepherd feeding his flock and holding the little lambs in his arms. Oh, guys, you don't understand. We see it in the shepherd's rod. Mary used to always be puzzled by Psalms 23. You know, that rod and thy staff. It's like, you know, how many of you know? Did he have this quill back here? Different things. It's one staff. On one end was sharp that poked in the ground, but it had a hook on the other end. He used the one end to beat the enemy. He used the other end to rescue you out of a jam. It was the same staff, but it had two purposes. It brought comfort and guidance to the lambs, and it killed the wolf. It's the same thing. When God shows up, if you're in Him, He can pour out all the fire He wants, and all you become is pure gold that has been tried by fire. And when Messiah comes, we already dealt with Malachi, He comes as a refiner's fire and a fuller soap, and all you do is you get clean and you get strong, and the devil gets weak, and the devil runs off, and the devil is defeated. But the whole time, God is waiting for us to speak. He's waiting for Zion to be comforted. He's waiting for His people to speak. Who are you speaking for this morning? Who are you speaking for? Who are you letting put words in your mouth? Are you letting the devil put words in your mouth? Or are you letting the Holy Spirit put words in your mouth? Or the commandments of God in your mouth? On these laws shall you meditate day and night. They shall ever be in your mouth. Why? Because if God can get you to speak Him, there's power loosed in it. Then He comes back and He says, listen, now you may think it's this impossible, but let me tell you what. Let me tell you the score here. Let's jump down to verse 12. This is the God that we have to deal with, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. You know what's amazing to science? Our planet is not round. It's not round like a basketball. It bulges at the equator. And it's spinning, and it's not round. Anybody ever have a tire that was out of balance? Wubba-da, 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 wubba-da. Well, then how come every once in a while we don't go on the planet? Because God measured everything in His hand. He measured mountains in His hand. He measured the water in His hand as He was building this planet. And He said, no, you know what? I'm going to measure this thing so accurately that men can build buildings over here, dig holes here, set off A-bombs over here and hydrogen bombs over there and do all this. And it still spins just exactly like it did the way God made it. Because He made it balanced so perfectly that you can't throw it off axis. You can't do it. The only time this planet ever changed its axis. Did you know it did? No, not the flood. Remember when time stood still in the fight? Prior to that, Mars had an elliptical orbit. God created a time when He needed for the Earth to stop, the sun to stop. They said the sun stopped. How many know the Earth is what really stopped? And prior to that, every year, that Mars would get so big in the sky at night that it was two or three times the size of the moon, and Mars worship was really big because it's like this big planet just showed up and it was just filling the night sky. We had a near-miss collision which stopped the planet from rotating for enough, and it threw to a different orbit. Prior to that, there were 360 days to a year. After that event, there were 365 and a quarter days. And it threw Mars into a completely different orbit, all because God did it. Which he showed, no matter what man does, he can't unbalance this thing, but I can unbalance it for my purposes and set it back to a different axis. And what's really crazy is all the astrologers, history tells us, in Babylon went absolutely ballistic after that day because it screwed up all their astrological worship and all their calculations and everything. All their centuries of math was no good after that. They had to go back and recalculate everything because God did something. And the reason he could do it, he was the manufacturer. He's the one who balanced it out. We're dealing with a God who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span. You know what a span is? Between your little pinky and your thumb. That is a span. God took our universe and put his hand up against it, and it measured from his thumb to his pinky, and he says, that's just the right size. That's how big God is. Think about that for a minute. Because one of the things that M theory has taught us in physics is that the universe, or what we call our dimensional reality, the universe, is round. It is a sphere. It's like we're in this bubble. God says, yeah, it's this big. We think it is infinite, that it is without limits, but even quantum physics has realized there is a limit to the size of our universe, and it fits in the hand of God. And if he can fit the universe in his hand, do you think he can hold you in his hand? That's the God that we're dealing with here. He said he calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. God has scales big enough that he can put mountains in, balance them out. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Nobody. God is God alone. It's like the song we sing. He doesn't need anything added to him to be God. He is God all by himself. And that is the one that we have to do with. That is the one who gave us commandments, gave us statutes, gave us judgments, gave us the way of salvation, worked his salvation plan that no devil in hell could stop it. No devil in hell, not even all the unbelief of every human being on this planet, could not stop Jesus from resurrecting from the dead. Because he had planned it, he had worked it, and nobody can stop his plans. That is the God who says, I have a plan, I'm going to show you the plan, and if you speak it forth, I'm going to carry it out because I'm going to come with a strong arm. But it's you requiring you to hear from heaven for you to line up with this word. That's why right now the Hebraic roots movement is so important, because his body has got to line up with the word to make it through the tribulation. Now that goes against everything I was ever taught. I was indoctrinated as a good Baptist boy in dispensationalism. I mean, I got it down. We watched Hal Lindsey, and he began to kick into it. And I said, hey, baby, this is dispensationalism 101. We're going to get raptured. We're going to get out of here. But how many know that any time that God introduces a doctrine, you know, how many know that you can trace stuff back to Martin Luther, where the just shall live by faith? How many know that was good? Okay, and the guy had a pedigree. He studied the Word. And different ones God showed different things to. You go back to this mystery of catching away of the church, and it goes back to a 21-year-old girl who had been saved 6 months in Scotland that had a dream. How many know that you don't base anything on a dream? It's got to be the Word of God. I'm like Walter Martin. I pray for pre-trib, and I'm preparing for post-trib. But for me to have the strength that I got to have, I have got to embrace and balance our Hebraic heritage, not get into another religious spirit, but to get into it, everything has to be viewed through the matrix or the lens of Jesus, because Jesus is the Torah made flesh. It's got to line up with Him. It's got to never subtract anything away from Him, and it's got to empower me to walk with Him. And as I learn these things and learn what God is doing, I can finally be into a position to see things from God's perspective. I love verse 15. Because how many know there is a one world government coming? Okay? Here's what God has got to say about the one world government. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. That kind of all the power the devil can muster through all the nations of this earth. They all hate Israel. They all hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They all hate the Word of God. And God says, when you look from my perspective, they are nothing but a drop in the bucket. Your bondages that you think are great mountains to God are nothing but a drop in the bucket. Your problems that you're facing are nothing but a drop in the bucket. And God is trying to move us from being a part of the problem to a part of the solution by getting things back into perspective and speaking to the mountains. Then he goes on and says, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. How many know back then, Lebanon was the chief place where they got all their wood? You always talk about in the Word on how the cedars of Lebanon and Solomon built, you know, a lot of his chambers out of the cedar that came from Lebanon. And I mean, that was the place where wood came. And he's saying, listen, put it back into perspective. If you took all the great forests of Lebanon, piled them together, set everything in order for a burnt offering, and took every beast that was in this great place and put it on there, that burnt offering wouldn't be enough to do God justice. That's how big God is. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted by Him less than nothing and worthless. Everything that this world is trying to creep into your life, guys, every wound that you have, every problem the world has put here, every formula the devil has for your destruction, to God is less than nothing. That's what you need to tell the devil. Dude, you may think you're number one, but God tells me you're less than zero. Well, there's power in that, isn't there? That when you can look at the chains the devil has put into your life, and you can look at them and say, in God, you're less than nothing, you're about ready to have a breakthrough. You're not getting it yet. You're about to get it. Every problem that we have, every mountain that we have ever faced seems insurmountable to us. Everything that's going on in the world. Right now, I see the world heading for a one world government like a roller coaster going downhill. But yet, in Almighty God, it's less than nothing. That there is nothing the devil can do that will ever stop His coming. Never, ever, ever. And if the Antichrist can't stop Jesus from coming back, if all the world in their unbelief could not keep Jesus from raising from the dead, if God can make Nebuchadnezzar eat grass like a cow, He can set you free. If Almighty God, who has wisdom beyond compare, says, do it this way, who am I to argue? Most believers spend their time arguing over the commandments instead of doing them. Well, I've been set free from that. Really? You've been set free from the wisdom of God. God help you. I got so much in me this morning, and it's hard to articulate all of it, just the strength of it. God is calling His people to quit working against Him and quit arguing with Him and start working with Him for your deliverance. How many know that if everything is smooth, now this is going to be a deep revelation. Are you ready for this? If everything is smooth, then everything is smooth. If God has allowed you to use you to level everything off in life, are you sick of the valleys you got to go through and the mountains that you got to climb? It seems like everything's a battle. You kind of feel like Bill Cosby's dad. You know, when you were a kid, you had to walk to school uphill 5 miles, and when you went home, it was still 5 miles uphill. God says, my desire is to bring everything even to where you have a smooth place to walk in. Constant. That I'm not going through times that God seems close to me, I'm on a mountaintop. God seems far from me, I'm in the valley. God seems close to me, I'm on a mountaintop. God seems far from me, I'm on a valley. God's perfect will for us is to get to a place that every mountain and hill has been brought low, every valley has been exalted, and the rough places have been made plain, so that no matter what's going on in my life, I feel like I'm close to God. How many know Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they refused to bow, and that, well, to us that looked like a mountain, to them it was a smooth place. To them it was a smooth place. They looked that king in the face and said, you know what? You're grass in the eyes of God. If my God chooses to deliver me, He's going to deliver me. There ain't a thing you can do about it. If He doesn't choose to deliver me, I'm going to be with Him. And so it's a win-win situation. So no matter what you do, I ain't bowing. Why? Because I'm not in a valley. I'm not on some euphoric mountain. I'm in a position with God that it is consistent. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I have learned to walk in Him. I can be like Daniel, and they throw me in a lion's den, and all I get is big fluffy pillows for the night. Because I have gotten to a place that my feelings and my relationship with God always stays the same no matter what goes on the outside. Because now, I'm not talking about doing away with all your problems. I'm talking about doing away with all your problems on the inside. If all your problems are done away on the inside, you can face the fire, you can face the lions, you can take a jawbone of an ass and kill a whole bunch of Philistines if you need to, if God's close to you and that is consistent. That's what this is talking about. The biggest mountains that you ever have to move in your life are on the inside of you. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I can have tribulation, but not be in tribulation. I can have a challenge, but not have a problem. I can have a time of warfare, but me not being in despair. You know, if the devil shows up with a knife and you got a bazooka, it can be called warfare, but you're not the one sweating. Come on. When I begin to learn to speak to my problems, especially those on the inside of me, and begin to command them to come in line with the Word of God, I am now in a position to where Jesus can shepherd me the way He wants to. Because now I'm working with Him instead of against Him. And that's part of preparing the way of the Lord. I can't be fighting God and God come to my aid at the same time. I literally believe, guys, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, keeping the commandments of God, you can come to a place that you rarely need a miracle. Abraham rarely needed a miracle. David rarely needed a miracle. We get it, 9 times out of 10, guys, we get into the place we need a miracle because we have not kept the ways of God. We created our problem. And if I walk in the commandments of God, I am constantly creating solutions, constantly creating blessings, constantly creating not stumbling blocks but stepping stones to my life. And that's God's perfect will. Now, if God calls you out on a project that you have stretched your faith as far as you can, He can always tack a miracle on the end of it, because that place was not a place of disobedience that took you to a place of a miracle. It was obedience that took you to a place that only God could show up and get it done. We have got to realize this as we're coming into the feast, that God is up to something this year. He is saying, prepare a way for me. If you prepare the place for me, I'll show up. If you speak into it, if you speak my word into it, I'll back up my word that you have spoken, because it's not your word, it's not your will, it's mine. And a commandment keeper, there should be more power in your words. And I'm going to end with this. And this is a warning, guys. As we start to flow in this, your biggest threat is a religious spirit. I have seen it. I have seen it in the Baptist movement, religious spirit takes over. I've seen it in the Pentecostal movement, religious spirit takes over. I've seen it in charismatics, a religious spirit takes over. And I'm seeing it in the Jewish roots movement, a religious spirit can take over. You just, your religious spirit goes from being fixated on Pentecostal things to fixated on Jewish things. When what God is saying, stay fixated on me, and that'll drive out that religious spirit, because I'm not doing it to be religious. I'm doing it because I'm in a loving and living relationship with Almighty God, and Jesus is the center of the Torah. Jesus is the center of the Word of God. Everything starts and stops in Him. He is the Aleph and the Tav. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and He is the finisher. You're never going to finish it if you don't finish it with Jesus. And He won't allow religiosity to be there. He didn't like it in the Pharisees. He didn't like it in the Sadducees. And He don't like it in those who call by His name. He doesn't like it. And a religious spirit will get you off. Hear from the Spirit of God. If all you can hear is you go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 has the answer for every problem you have. It's by His stripes, it's by His wounds, it's by His suffering. He took your suffering so you wouldn't have to. He took your sin so that you could be forgiven. It's called the Great Exchange. Study that out. If you're in bondage, take it to Isaiah 53 and you'll get it to the cross. Meditate on it. Speak over it. Speak over it. I have learned over the iniquitous ways that was in my bloodline. I have learned to plead the bruises of Jesus. He was bruised for my iniquity. He was unbent. And that unbending doesn't break, it bruises. You see, there was a separate requirement for sin and iniquity are two different things. The blood was shed for sin, but He was bruised. He was untwisted for my iniquity. Therefore, I plead the bruises of Jesus, and it's going to untwist me on the inside so that the paths of the Lord are made straight in me. Well, did it happen the first time? No, it's ornery. It has spent 50 years getting there. You think you're going to get rid of it in 5 minutes? Every day you go back and you get in the book and you say, flesh, this is the way it is. Flesh, this is the way it is. You're going to get unbent. You're going to get set free. You're going to follow God. And God says, if you have set your heart to this, I'm going to start giving you pieces of the puzzle to get it done. But you've got to set your face. You've got to face your mountain and begin speaking to it. That means you've got to claim the mountain too. This is my mountain. I'm responsible for it. And it's getting moved by the power of God. Because God is calling us to prepare the way for Him. He's calling us to prepare. God wants to show up. Now, you know, in the past few services that we've had, I mean, He has showed up. And it's been wonderful. Guys, that's setting number one. And there's 100 settings to this thing. That's setting number one. He wants to show up. He wants to show up that in your home, in your prayer closet, the manifested power and the presence of God is going to show up. The glory of God wants to show up in your house, in your home. The most peaceful place on this planet for me is my house. If it ever gets rough in ministry, when I get home, the minute I go on the property, it's like, because we have learned to create an atmosphere of heaven in our house. There it is, the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, you add Mary's cooking to the top of that, and it's just over the top. That's why I'd be a fat man. Because my cup and my bowl and my plate doth always run over. And God's provision is always there. Even when it seems like you don't have nothing, there's always something. God wants it in our home. It's not just about the church. You see, if each one of you have the presence of God and the power of God and the shalom of the kingdom manifesting in your home, when you come here, it begins to build more and more and more. Then when someone comes in and doesn't know Jesus, they are confronted with heaven. Because on the inside, we have made the rough places plain. The inside of here. If you can get content here, you're content anywhere. You can have a praise and worship session in jail. Remember Paul and Silas? Prayer session, praise session in jail. Because they weren't on jail on the inside. God wants to do that this season as we enter into the feast. If I'll prepare the way for Him. Father God, we just thank You today. Father, we come before You in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Father, we ask that You would give us the strength, that You would strengthen our words, that You would strengthen our heart, that You would give strength to our voice as we declare in our lives Your liberty, as we declare the good news. I believe that as we speak the mountains in Your obedience for the first time in our lives, we're going to see mountains move and valleys fill up. Because on the inside of us and in our families, in our homes, we are going to prepare a place for You. The Lord is going to have a highway in our lives. Now, Father, give us the grace today. Give us the power of Your Spirit today. Give us the wisdom today to begin working with You to bring that to pass, Father. And Father, we bind up a hindering spirit that would try to hinder us in moving in God in any way. We reject a religious spirit, but we embrace the Spirit of the living God. And we thank You, and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.